Well, I did mention the theme for the year, but can anyone say what it is now that I already mentioned? Devoted to hospitality. Does anyone know, like, we call it devoted to hospitality, but it comes from a scripture. Don't put it up yet. In what book?
Acts.
Oh, so good. And we're
2?
2:42. Oh, 2:42. How good are you guys? They go good. Well, we better put, well, do we need to put it up to say it? We're going to read it out all together. Okay, well, I'm getting nods. Okay, let's put up that scripture right now. Like, let's all join in together. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. So, we can be devoted to a lot of things. We can be devoted to sports. We could be devoted to the Broncos. Boy, they are skinning on ice, right? They just made it. Broncos only just made it because they were like losing right at the beginning, like 16-0. But hey, that's what a comeback is all about. Yeah. Dan Bowman must have been praying for them. But yeah, anyway. But you get to be voted to Netflix or work or TV shows. I remember inviting someone along to church who couldn't come on a Sunday night because they're, I think it was a singing one, The Voice or something, was on Sunday night. I'm like, for heaven's sake, why don't you hear the real voice? Whoa, 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 and the lights went out. Okay, all right, guys, it was all right. Like, wow. Okay, okay, we're back. Thank you, thank you. That was not even planned. Anyway, but the disciples, they are devoted to the apostles' teaching, which is the word of God, to fellowship and the sharing in meals, which is the people of God, and they are devoted to prayer, which is the presence of God. We had communion together today. You can see what it's like when we actually, and one, we stand together, and we're believing something at the same time. There is just something so sacred in communion, in time together. All right, so I'm just going to let you know what happened before that scripture in Acts 2:42. So in the book of Acts, like, but in Acts 2, it reveals the birth of the Christian church through the power of the Holy Spirit. So on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and descended on the disciples, enabling them to speak in various languages, connecting with people from different regions. Then Peter, he gets up, he preaches a message. 3,000 people get water baptized and join the church that day. It was the birth of the church. And then the chapter concludes with that scripture. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the sharing of meals, and to prayer because they were a church in revival. That's what a church in revival looks like. Devotes themselves to the word of God, devotes themselves to the people of God, devotes themselves to the presence of God. At that time, they didn't have church in buildings. They probably had it in paddocks and stuff like that. But most of the time, they would have it in homes. So the centerpiece was actually a table, not a pulpit, a table.
Yes.
That's how important hospitality is. So I love this theme. I made a commitment at the beginning of the year because we made commitments. I was going to commit to, and I have committed to, once a month I have hospitality in my home with people from church and try and invite some others. And then once a month, I have hospitality with people who don't know Jesus yet, which I actually have been doing that every month. Like my Pilates crew, they're loving it. But anyway, they're my people who don't know Jesus yet. So the only month I think I missed was when I went to Europe for 6 weeks. However, I was on a tour, so I had dinner with 14 the same people for 5 weeks, every night. A lot of hospitality happening there. And in that time, once they found out what I did, like, I just got to talk and love on people, and every one of them at different times asked me questions about God. So this is what happens when you put yourself in a place where people don't know God. You can share his love and share his word. So now, we did talk about that. Yes, I am from New Zealand. I am originally from New Zealand. I'm a Māori. Not, you know, some people say Maori. That's not correct. It's Māori. Say Māori.
Māori.
Oh, that's so good. See, when you don't actually see the word, it's easy to pronounce. If you look at the word, you go, oh, that's Maori. No, it's not. It's Māori. Okay. Now, one of our core values as a Māori is manaakitanga. Hey, can we put the word up? There it is. That's how you spell it. Manaakitanga. All right? Oh, no, everyone's going, oh, my God, is she going to get us to say that? I'll explain what it is first, and then I'll get you to say it. So it's actually broken up into two words, because tanga means, tanga makes it a noun. So manaaki is actually the verb. Mana is the first word. So mana is made, like, it's to show strength. That's what mana is. It's your mana. To show strength, to show pride, to show honour, and it's in spiritual power. So that's mana. Aki is the literal word for supporting, motivating, or taking care of someone. So manaaki actually means, manaakitanga means like hospitality, generosity, and it shows, it's the practice of showing kindness, respect, and support to guests and to visitors. So now we're going to say it. So M-A-N-A is mana, so mana. Aki, A-K-I, aki. Tanga. Oh, now, kid, do you think we can say it all together? Oh, wow. One more time. Manaakitanga. Oh, that's brilliant. Come on, I'm not kidding. And online as well. Did you get it? Oh, I don't know if you did because I can't hear you. But anyway, so I was brought up in that environment because it is one of our core values, manaakitanga. My grandparents, who I lived with them from the age of 6 to 10, I lived with them for 4 years, it was just chaos, this manaakitanga business. Really, like, we were either going somewhere every weekend to a wedding, to a funeral, like a tangi, or someone's 21st birthday or something. And then during the week, we had people over. And in those days, like, people don't ring you to make an appointment to come over. They just drop in. Because that's what manaakitanga is all about. So, you know, and honestly, it just used to make my eyes roll when I was a kid. Like, oh, my goodness, like, people again for dinner. That means I've got to peel more potatoes, because that was my job. I hated peeling potatoes. In fact, I'd get home from school, I'd peel the potatoes, I'd put them on, forget about them, run out, play with friends, come back, and then it just stunk of, like, burnt potatoes. Oh, so open all the windows, try and do it again. Yeah, anyway, I wasn't really good right from the get-go in cooking. So you, heads up right there, you know. But manaakitanga is about not like just accepting people where they are. And seriously, almost every night we'd have people over or we were somewhere. And I've got to say, I wasn't rapt about it all the time because it was just a lot. But, you know, in the Bible, it says to practice hospitality without grumbling. Well, I didn't know that then, because I wasn't following Jesus. So in 1 Peter 4, verse 9, it does say, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. So I have learned since then. So, I mean, I was brought up to believe about God even then, but I didn't know that I could have a relationship with him. I didn't know till a lot later. So, and it's not about just people come over and you get some bickies out. Oh, doesn't matter what time of day or, you know, or what day it is or anything, it's like a meal. You get everything out of the fridge. You stick it on there, and there's always too much food. Too much. I mean, I'll show you some photos of my cousins a little bit later. You'll know why, because it's all the manaakitanga going on. It is. That's why I moved to Australia. No, I'm not joking. But one thing about it, it is about respect, it's about love, it's about making people feel that they belong. Right. It's family. Wow. Like these people, that's why I'm like that with whānau. It doesn't matter whether they are actually my blood relations. I am used to having, like, I call, like, that's why everyone's my cousin. You know, if they're Māori, they're my cousin. Like, or they're my auntie, depending on their age, or they're my nan, or whatever. But it's like we're all related. Yeah. That's a part of, that's whanautanga, but that's just a whole other thing. Anyway, that's another core value. But manaakitanga is about accepting everyone right where they are. Yeah. So, and I love that I was brought up like that now, but at the time, but I did love it, though. I did love it, because all my cousins would be there. We'd play bull rush and rugby, all those great things. But every weekend we'd be going to something, because a 21st birthday, I mean, there's usually at least 500 people at these. Like, every weekend. We go to a wedding, 500 people, or we go to a tangi, 1,000 people. So I am used to that. And it's not, a tangi is 3 days, so it's not just one meal, it's 3 days worth of meals. I am used to that kind of thing. I have got a couple of pictures. The first one is like, where was that at? If we can have the first picture. There's some of my cousins, and Max, she's my friend that I hadn't seen for years. But this was actually, I mean, I might be smiling there, but this was one of the days of my grandmother's funeral. So when people come to visit, straight afterwards, the speeches and that, they go and eat. It's just, that's just the way, and then they go and do the ruru, which is like doing the hongi with everyone. Like, anyway, we'll go off the track. Next one. So this is like, this is the hākari. This is at my grandmother's after we buried her. So that's the biggest one, because that's when everybody comes on the tangi day. So even though there's someone speaking up there, that's why everyone is listening, but we can take that off. I just wanted to give you a picture of that. That's in our whare kai, which is part of the marae. That's part of a meeting house where we all meet together. It's our family marae. And that's the whare kai. Whare means house. Kai means to eat, food. It's food. Kai is, so whare kai is where we eat. Pretty awesome, right? Hey, yeah. So you're learning a little bit of the language as well. So you might be here today, though, and you don't have a relationship with Jesus yet. You might be like me, believe about it, but not really have a relationship with Jesus. A little bit later, I'm going to give you an opportunity to invite Jesus into your heart. So I'm going to talk about Jesus now, because he was all about sharing meals together. In the book of Luke alone, I looked, and these are some of the things that Jesus did. Jesus, he eats with tax collectors and sinners at the home of Levi. Jesus, he fed the 5,000 in the wilderness. Jesus eats at the home of Martha and Mary. Jesus is at a meal when he urges people to invite the poor to their meals. Jesus invites himself to dinner with Zacchaeus. Yeah, I know all about people inviting themselves. Jesus eats the Last Supper. Jesus has a meal with two disciples on his way to Emmaus, but when they have the supper and they break bread together is when they actually realize that it is Jesus after his resurrection. Jesus, he appears to the disciples in Jerusalem just after that and eats fish with them. So Jesus is all about meals. There is a biblical foundation of hospitality. In Romans 12:13, it says, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. You know, now the word hospitality in Greek is, it actually means love for strangers. So that's, when we are inviting, it's not just people that we know, it's other people that we don't know yet. In Hebrews 13:2, it says, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. You don't know who you're sitting with. Yeah, could be an angel. Really amazing. I'm going to share some stories with you later. But we're called to open our homes and lives to others, both within the church and outside of it. Hospitality is a practical way to demonstrate Christ's love, and everyone can participate regardless of your spiritual gifting. Or your, you know, cooking as well. You don't need to be gifted to have hospitality. So this is my first point, I guess. Hospitality builds relationship. It does. It builds relationship. It just creates a sense of community and belonging, and we can connect on a personal level. When you have someone in your home, you connect on a personal level. You share experiences. You support each other. You laugh. You create memories, and hearts become open to building a relationship. You find out more about people. If you're playing games, which I love to do at hospitality, you find out how competitive some people can be. Katrina. Anyway, yeah. You do. You find out these things. But it's still fun. And as I mentioned to you, when I was on my tour, the hospitality that I had with these 14 people over 5.5 weeks, by the end of it, I knew them better than I probably know a lot of you. And it's because we had meals together. We talked together. We shared together. We started to trust each other. They were so vulnerable at the end. Oh, like I've heard some stories that I've, it's just crazy. But that's what happens when you sit down at a meal with a person for a number of times. You really get to know them. Instead of just being surface, shallow talk, no, it becomes, you get to know their heart. You get to know their fears. You get to know their passions. You get to know lots and lots of things about people when you have hospitality. So that's first one, hospitality builds relationships. Second one, hospitality creates a sense of belonging. People feel included and valued when you invite them to dinner. They just do. It's like, wow, how about this? It's so awesome. We're called to love one another. It's all about one another. Love one another, serve one another throughout the Bible. Serve one another, encourage one another, offer hospitality to one another. And, you know, it doesn't really matter because, like, love helps people to belong. Even though, like in Proverbs 15:17, it says, better a bread crust shared in love than a slab of prime rib served in hate. Now, that is in the Bible. I'm telling you, it is. It's in the Message version. I know, I was like, blew my mind. I'm thinking, like, is that even a thing? Then I looked at another version. It says, better to have a dish of vegetables where there is love than juicy steaks where there is hate. If I didn't see it in the Bible, I would be thinking, there's no way. That is no way. And talking about meat, I've got, let's put up that picture. That is what a Brazilian barbecue for four people looks like. Oh my gosh, that's at Joss and Anna's place. Where are you, Joss and Anna? Over there, people want to find you, coming to your barbecue place after. But that is for four people. You get to know people's cultures and you belong. Oh, Brazilian barbecue. I mean, I'm loving that. But anyway, back to but it is better with love. Wouldn't matter. But I mean, that in love is way, way better, right? You know that. Yeah, go the meat. Go the meat. The first time I was invited, not invited, first time I came along to church, probably the second time I came, someone invited me to their place for lunch. It was amazing. I'm like, wow, why would you do that? But there was something in that. It's sacred. Yes. It's sacred. We got to know that person a bit better. And do you know what happens? When you come to church the next time, you don't feel so awkward. Because that's what I was like when I went to church. I just feel awkward because I don't know anyone. But now, all of a sudden, you know someone. And then you meet them. You meet their friends. You join a group. You meet more people. You have hospitality. This is what happens. It takes the awkwardness out of being a Christian, of coming to church. Yeah, it does. It does. Like, hospitality does that. So it creates a sense of belonging. It also builds relationships. And the third thing is hospitality can open the door to miracles. Your hospitality, your willingness to open your life to someone else could be the very thing that God uses to bring a miracle into their life. Oh, that's so good. Think about the story about in 1 Kings 17, there's a widow, and she only had a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil left, and she was actually going to make something for her and her son, and then they were going to die. This is what she was thinking at the time. But Elijah comes along, and she decides to feed him all she had. That was it. She fed him. But because of that, God provided for her and her son through a miraculous supply of flour and oil that never ran out during the famine. This is what happens. She was hospitable, and God created a miracle of supply in her life. I met a lady at the Gold Coast. I was at a conference, and it was a work conference, and there was something about her. So I asked her, hey, in the break, do you want to have lunch together? I was there by myself. She was there by herself. She goes, okay. So we sit down, we talk. Then she starts to share with me the journey she's been on. She's been on a cancer journey, the things that she's lost, the family that she's lost. It was sad. But I got to share the love of Jesus with her and led her to God right there at the table. This is what happens. That's a miracle. You never know what your hospitality has on the other end of it for someone else. When we invite people, whether it's salvation, whether it's encouragement, whether it's healing, when we invite someone in, God can do miracles. When we're inviting people over, we're praying that God will open their hearts and our hearts, that God will help us, you know, have great conversation. That's what we're praying for. We're praying for miracles, that we will see miracles happen. So tell me some of the things that can stop you from having hospitality. Busyness, yep, time, yep, busyness.
What? Dirty house.
Dirty house, dirty house, like, that's great. Not great, really, but no, 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 I'm hearing you. No, it's a good...
Can't cook.
Oh, I'm right there. I've got an answer for you immediately. Anyway, it's called a barbecue chicken. No, anyway. And what was that? What was the other thing? Kids. Oh. Mm. Okay. No, that's a good one. That is good. Kids. Okay. All right. Time and busyness. I am, a lot of the time poor myself. The only thing is I make time for other things. I can make two times in a month. Like, this means you might decide on once a week, once a fortnight, once a month. But I'm sure there's one time in a month when you can fit something in. And it's not time, the time thing is not about... Joshua over here is laughing. It's probably because it's like every week for us. Because I know the walkers, that they're constantly having people over. But that's it. Did I see an eye roll? No, 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 no. Remember, no grumbling. No, 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 no. But what it, time, it's like fitting it in to your calendar. It is. It's like fitting it in. Because I know if I don't plan it, number one, it's not going to happen, because when it gets to that time, I don't feel like it. Like, I might be a little bit of an extrovert, but I'm also a little bit of an introvert. You know, I do actually feel great around other people, but then I feel great by myself as well. So that's why you've got to put it in the schedule. Put it in. Got to lock it in. Lock it in with time. Not a great cook. Already said the answer to that. Barbecue chicken. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because that is, I'm not a great cook. And I don't have time, both of those things. But who doesn't? I like barbecue chicken. It's awesome, amazing, especially if you know where to get them from. I can give you tips on that. I don't want to do any adverts from here, from the pulpit. But that's right. It doesn't have to be hard. It could be a cup of tea and some biscuits, and that's what I mean. You don't even have to be good. It could be breakfast. Oh, if you make runny eggs, don't. Like, just like, it could be breakfast with muesli bars. How about that? It could be lunch. It could be dinner. It could be supper. It could be just dessert. Whatever it is, don't make it hard. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. So I'm going to, and then it could be money that's stopping you from doing it. It could be budget. Get people to bring something over. You know, bring a plate. You know, people used to say to me when I first landed in Australia to bring a plate, and I thought, that is the weirdest thing. I mean, I didn't know what that was. I'm thinking, bring a plate. And I'm like, oh, do I bring a knife and fork as well? And they're like, what? I'm like, well, I don't know if to bring a plate. I'm just thinking a plate with nothing on it. See, I didn't need, like in New Zealand, it's like bring some kai food. Yeah, yeah, none of this bring a plate business. Wow. So anyway, for those of you that don't know that, that means put some food on that plate and bring it. All right. No. Or it could be potluck dinner, yeah. Like, yeah, or potluck, yeah. Dessert, whatever. Get people to bring. People don't mind that. I like taking stuff to wherever I'm going to. And if everyone takes a little bit, there's enough for everybody. So that's what I mean. That's just a great thing. So some practical things is just to start simple. Just start. Start where you're at. Don't worry about the house. Like, somebody sent me a message that they had no plans of having someone over, but they took some. So they sent one of them home to throw all the laundry into the thing and shut the doors and throw all of that. But it's okay, because I've got to tell you, when I go to your place, I'm not looking to see whether it's clean.
That's right.
It's the fellowship. It's the conversation. It's the love. That's what we're there for. Yeah. We're not there to, like, inspect your house and judge you. No. And if you are, you're naughty. Stop it. We're there to. So, you know, just start simple. Be intentional. Look for opportunities to show hospitality, especially to those who feel on the outside, aren't part of the key group. Someone who's new at church. A neighbor that you've never spoken to. Someone who looks like they need a friend. Be intentional about who you're inviting. Reach out, take the initiative, and watch God use it. Okay, plan it, we talked about that, and invite God into the process. We're praying because he can use hospitality to bring healing, to bring encouragement, and even salvation. So I'm going to invite every one of you here today, if you don't have anything on and you would love to have hospitality, there is actually a picnic in the park after this, like 11:30, and it's going to go on, 11:30, Misty organized it, and it is in the park. It's at Kiwanis. Oh, it's near the surf club at the playground, so you can take your kids, because that's what I mean. When kids come, like maybe you've got a place and you've got all these kids, invite people with kids over and go down to the local park. I remember Pastor Josh mentioning that, going down the local park and everyone's outside making a big mess there, not in your house. How about that? See, there's something for everybody. Like we love to have kids and hospitality. So invite God into that process. But yes, so you're invited. Now, if you would like to know more about that, because it's at the surf club, 11:30 on Terry and Micah. Where are you, Terry and Micah? There's Terry there. Terry and Micah, they're going to be out at the Next Step Zone, just out there. You can go and ask them. Terry and Micah, they're our Hello coaches. So they organise different things, and people on this Signal chat group called Make Room, if you would like to be on that, say you can't make it today, but you want to know of future things, they can add you to that Signal group as well. So you can go out there after the service and get amongst it. Get amongst it, people. So that is an invite. If you've never been invited before, now you have. So you just better go. You better go, and if you can't go, get on the app so you'll know when the next thing is on. So yes, hospitality builds relationships, creates a sense of belonging, and it can open the door to miracles. Hey, I want you to close your eyes as we pray. Thank you, Father. Oh, Jesus, you are a God of hospitality. You love people. You love people eating together, connecting together, building relationships together, playing games together, having fun together, making memories together. Well, Father, I pray, oh Lord, that you'd give us that same spirit, the same spirit, Lord, of hospitality, manaakitanga, that we would be generous, that we'd be hospitable, that we would lift people up, that we would encourage them. Oh, Lord, that we'd give you the opportunity to work miracles in their lives. Oh, I thank you, Lord, for your love. If you're here today, and even if you've already made a commitment to be a part of Devoted to Hospitality, but you want to commit to either once a week or once a fortnight or once a month to have hospitality in your home, I just want you to raise your hand right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Spirit of hospitality. Father, I thank you, Lord, that as people are committing to you, Father, that you would give them opportunities, that you'd put the right people around them. Show them, Lord, who it is. In Jesus' name, amen.